Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I remember even back at the trade deadline, this past year, we were talking to you about the Titans, the offensive line, and maybe some players that they could target. And Andre Dillard was a guy that you brought up on several different occasions. Obviously, they didn't do it then, but they have made that move now, and they've gone out and signed Dillard. What do you make of that move and what he could bring to the table for the Titans?
Yeah, I think it's a good move, and it kind of fits the theme of opportunity that the free agent class so far has had, honestly. And you look at how he was stuck behind Jordan Mailata. He's a guy that Jeff Stoutland brought in and developed, and it was his personal project. And, you know, Dillard got hurt, Mailata came in, and he took the job, and he just never turned back. And I think what you're getting is a value signing, a guy who has first-round potential, recent first-round potential, and it's just one of those things where he needed an opportunity, so this should be that for him. But you do have to acknowledge that you are losing a bit of a run-blocking ability. Like, he's not too much of a power player. He's more of a finesse guy. But that still fits with how they run the football in the previous years as far as zone blocking scheme and stuff like that. So we'll see how it works, but I think it's a value signing. It's one that gives you a left tackle of the next couple years and potentially of the future. So I just want to see how the money falls out, like what the actual value of it is as far as beyond the 3 years, $29 million.
God, you know, you mentioned Jeff Stoutland. Have we ever talked about Jeff Stoutland? That guy is just – talk about, like, offensive line coach, like, classic. Oh, man, I miss that dude. And a great coach, too. Great quote, great coach. But – speaking of the offensive line, TD, so Dillard, you're penciling him in at left tackle, right? I mean, I know there's some talk, you know, he could potentially bump inside, but expect him to start at left tackle. I think the tender for Brewer to me tells me he's their starting center. Now you have run skill. So we know that they need a left guard then, if that's the setup. But how would you – what would you expect and what do you think they should do just in terms of addressing – that, but also, do you still think that a drafted left tackle at 11 would make sense?
Well, it depends on what prospects are on the board. I think Paris Johnson Jr., you know, Peter Skoronski, those guys make sense at 11. You can never have too many good players. And the thing is that with Dillard, I think he's ideally suited at left tackle. So I don't know that I would flip him to right. But you look at some guys in the past, you know, whether it's, you know, Mike McGlinchey has played left tackle and got flipped to right. You look at Anthony Davis going back in the day to the 49ers back in, you know, 2009. He was a left tackle at Rutgers and they flipped him. So it's happened. Juwan Taylor, you know, is doing the reverse with the Chiefs, you know, going from right to left. Orlando Brown Jr., they flipped him from left to right. So it's happened where you drafted a guy and flipped him. But when you look at right tackle, if that's a position you want to address, you could do that a little bit later, you know, with a Darnell Wright, a DeJuan Jones, you know, if they decide to move back. So that's something that could happen. But I think Petit Ferrer is probably going to be the right tackle. The guard draft is deep. You know, you got a guy who they've had formals with at the combine in Osiris Torrance out of Florida. It's pretty extensive, you know. And for the Talking with TD draft series, I talked to Jackson Kirkland from Washington. You know, 6'7", 321, big, powerful, athletic guard. You know, he plays some tackle as well, but he's a guy that the Titans have shown interest in also. So there's an extensive list. So they're in a situation now where you don't go into it saying, like, you know, I have to get this position at this point, which is something you never want to do. So that was a good job by Rand Carthon and the crew to set it up that way.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So TD, the Titans make a move at the pass rusher part of the offseason with Arden Key coming in. I mean, look, it had 4.5 sacks last year, 6.5 sacks the year before. I mean, those aren't numbers from a sack standpoint that are going to get Titans fans like totally elated. But he did have 15 quarterback hits last year, and if you take a look at some of the underlying numbers, Arden Key played pretty well for Jacksonville in his role. So what do you think the Titans are getting in Arden Key, and do you think he's ready to handle a bigger role here with the Titans?
Yeah, they're getting a guy that brings a lot of juice off the edge, and he's also long, you know, and he's sudden. And that speed, the power ability that he has is outstanding. You could see that in some of the things that he did. I mean, you look at the way he was able to catch Dennis Daly slipping a bit and just ran right through him. And, you know, he got to Josh Dobbs late in the season. So what you're getting is a guy that's going to bring you a lot of pressures, right? You look, I believe it was 25 pressures he had, which was second to defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa. You know, going down the stretch, I think the last six games or so. Versatility as well, and there's a lot of opportunity for him also. I mean, you look, he was stuck behind Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen, but when he got opportunities to play, he took advantage of those. So he could at the very least be a situational guy. I look at it as more of a replacement for Bud Dupree, you know, because he could be a down lineman or stand up and rush the passer. So those are two things that he brings. And it's a good signing, you know, in my opinion, because you look at the real money on it, you know, $13 million guaranteed. That's good value right there for a guy to come in and be one of your main edge guys. And makes it a good group, you know, he and Harold Landry, Tyre Tart, Danico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons. That's a very stout group of pass rushers and just guys up front, period.
So Nick Westbrook-Ikhine ends up re-signing with the Titans. They didn't offer the tender. You know, I mean, I'm guessing he, you know, wanted to see what was out there, and apparently not a ton of interest. But I think I personally, and I know we can all joke, but I do think it's good for the Titans to have him in the room, TD, given how young they are. I also think you still want to be in a situation where he's, you know, down the depth chart a little bit. And right now, he's really not. So what do you expect to see at receiver moving forward? Is there anybody on the free agency list that really interests you at this point? Do you think a trade is a real possibility? And what about, and we were talking about the draft, you know, is 11 more likely to be a receiver now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you rejoiced when Westbrook was brought back.
Had a parade all morning long, TD.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have complained about that, and it's just, you know, unfortunately, you could walk on water, and they'll tell you to swim. You know what I mean? And I say that because this is a move. It's not like they gave this man a $5 to $10 million contract. Like it's a minimum deal, and it's a 1-year deal, and last time I checked, he was one of their top special teams guys, and he was solid last year, not a legit number two, but, I mean, if you have that ability that he brings to the table is you know, your number four or something like that, a rotational guy, I think you're doing all right. So it's like, pump the brakes on the complaining about him. You know, it's not a major part of the roster that he's taken up and a part of the salary cap with a budget. As far as the rest of the receivers are concerned, I mean, I would imagine a veteran is going to be added at some point. Not sure who it would be. I don't know what direction. I mean, a guy like Marvin Jones pops to mind, one of the ones that's left. I don't think he would be expensive. He's a veteran. He still has a little something left. He's somebody. But the draft, I mean, there's a lot of guys in this draft. I mean, you look, Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati is a guy that I really like as a fit for the Titans because he can line up on the outside and be a vertical threat. He's a junior Olympic AAU runner. I mean, the guy has legit speed, and you turn on some of the games, East Carolina, you turn on Miami of Ohio, you turn on there's so many of them. You know, you could go to Tulsa. There's game after game after game where this guy's making plays. He has 14 career touchdowns, 10 of them have been 30 yards or more. So that's somebody that you could get probably at 41, like in that second to third round range, you could probably get him. I mean, there's a lot of them. You want a possession guy, you got Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa State. Jonathan Mingo is a guy that can help out. So there's a bunch of receivers in this draft, and some may falsely say that it's not a good receiver group, but there's legit talent from top to bottom. So that's definitely an opportunity. I mean, you got six picks. I don't know if you use two of them on receivers, but I would definitely use at least one. And then the undrafted group, you know, there's a guy out of FAMU that I'm doing a story on named Xavier Smith. And he's someone that if he doesn't get drafted, the Titans need to get on the phone and give him a call. Dynamic receiver right there, helps out in the return game.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Absolutely, you as well. Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get more into what TD had to say there, and also an interesting comment from a former general manager in the NFL as well that we'll get into as well regarding the Tennessee Titans. All that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from our friends at Superbook Sports.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And the perfect day to talk about Superbook Sports because we have so much college basketball today to bet on. One of the games that I'm looking forward to tonight, Kentucky Providence. Kentucky a 4-point favorite. But listen, I'm going to take Kentucky. I'm going to take them not only to win, but I'm going to take them to cover that 4-point spread. And another game I'm looking at that Joe Rexroad has put me on, Indiana and Kent State. Indiana, a 4.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Kent State plus the 4.5. Hopefully, we'll see a couple more upsets today, and that could be one of them. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every single week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. One of the reasons I love them is because they don't have any fancy computer algorithms. No guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, they also feature some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Breaking Benjamin at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on May the 3rd. Be caller 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Breaking Benjamin at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on May 3rd, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport with lots of interesting thoughts there on the Titans. The wide receiver part of this is going to be really fascinating, obviously, with NWI re-signing with the Titans. We know he's going to be in there. He's going to be in the fold. There's some experience there that you have. And now I'm interested to see how the Titans handle the rest of their receiving core as they move forward here. Joe, and some interesting comments from Michael Lombardi, who is a former executive in the NFL and now is a host of the GM Shuffle podcast. And on a recent episode that came out earlier this week, they were talking about the Titans and they were talking about Kevin Byard. And Michael Lombardi had some interesting comments from on that. He said, quote, "He's a really good player. They're trying to get him to take a pay cut. If he doesn't take a pay cut, they're going to cut him." And then went on to talk about, you know, kind of the back and forth there, and says, "This is where the rubber meets the road. Are they bluffing? Are they not bluffing? They've got cap issues. That team is a mess." This is from Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. What do you make of those comments and the idea of Kevin Byard, the Titans maybe approaching him to take a pay cut, and if not, maybe the Titans would be interested in moving on from Kevin Byard? What do you make of what Michael Lombardi had to say there?
Do you guys have me right now?
We do.
Okay, because I mean, I just sent you a video of me as Kermit the Frog on acid in a nightclub.
Oh, good. Can't wait to see it.
So, yeah, no, it's. I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I'm seriously making myself nauseous looking at this. I hope that's not what the viewer is seeing. So, Michael Lombardi, and let's go back. I don't have this. There's a lot of stuff where he's just dead wrong about things, including Michael Lombardi is one of the – this was Jarrett's primary source when he's like, I don't know, this guy is a former GM. Of course, Michael Lombardi was the hashtag playing from Green Bay guy. Let's remember that.
Yes.
And then Jarrett, you know, is hook, line, and sinker and gets suckered into it, I guess. Or maybe it was his own dumb idea, too. I don't know. But Michael Lombardi is – he has got some takes. Now, again, I'm not saying he's wrong on this. I think that making – or asking for a pay cut for Byard, I mean, I can see that. I can see how that would make sense at this point. I still think he's a very good player. He obviously costs a lot right now. But I also – Lombardi, I'm always grain of salt with Lombardi. And people who follow him more closely than I do would probably come up with a lot of examples where he's just like off the wall on stuff. This is not an off-the-wall idea, though. I will say that.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that before. Like, Kevin Byard, what does his future look like with the Titans? I mean, he's making a lot of money, and, you know, that's a position where some teams don't like to spend a lot of money. Now, he's 29 years old. I mean, he's obviously a heart and soul guy for the Titans, but anytime you get a new GM coming in, you know, those sort of questions are up in the air. I'm interested to see what the approach is there. Now, in terms of, like, everybody talks about pay cut. Like, how many times do players actually say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll take a pay cut. Like, I feel like that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't happen very often. It's an interesting thing because, at this stage, you know, Byard, again, is still a very good player. Now, obviously, you could cut Byard, and I'll have to look and see. I thought that this year, I'm going to look at it right now, but I
13.6 of dead money this year, according to Over the Cap.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you're Byard, you know that you're like, yeah, you guys want to take that on, you know, that helps you. Right. I mean, obviously once that gets down to like with Lawan, it was zero. And so he knew he was going to be cut, you know? So yeah, I'm with you. Like if you're Kevin Byard, are you going to take a pay cut? Probably not. But also, Kevin Byard right now, if he were on the open market, you know, like what is he getting right now if he's just out there from a team? And, you know, that's what the Titans have figured out if they are trying to do this. Okay, what would he get out there? What could we possibly offer him that would still be sweeter than that, you know? And like you said, Robbie, a lot of players just like, screw you, you know, if you get asked to do the pay cut. I mean, it's probably – I think Byard would still be certainly of high interest to people out there.
I would agree. Now, you know, Jesse Bates just signed the big deal, but he's 26, right? Like it's different.
That's the difference.
Right. Yeah. He's 26. Kevin Byard's 29. So like, look, there would be interest and I think he could make, you know, there would be high demand for Kevin Byard maybe for the next couple of years, but it's kind of not the same thing anymore. And that's, you know, the Titans, you got to ask yourself that question too, because I mean, right now, the top two cap hits on the team are Tannehill, number one, at $36.6 million for this year, and Kevin Byard is at number two for $19.6 million, according to Over the Cap. So you're talking about a safety with the second highest cap hit on your team.
Sure. But we're also talking about a safety who has been one of the best, and at times people have thought might be the best safety in the game.
Sure.
I don't think that's the case right now, but he's still, I think, one of the best safeties. Also, you're talking about a team. Well, first of all, so you've got, you know, I mean, he's part of that core group of leaders, you know, on this team. But also, I mean, this team needs to get more safeties anyway. I mean, it's got Landry, and obviously they paid Hooker, and he had injury issues last year. But that position group, to me, like, you've got to find your next safety you can develop into a starter in this offseason, along with all the other things that you're looking at. But if you move down from Byard, think about how thin you are at that position. I know it's not a quote-unquote premium position, so you could look at that and say, man. I mean, I'm sure if you're a new GM coming in, you're like, man, 19.6 is a cap number for your safety, huh? Right?
Yeah.
You don't see that all that often. But it's a little different with Kevin Byard.
It is. Ricky on the text line says, Byard already said he'd take less money to stay. He wants to retire a Titan. That is not what he said. He said he would restructure his contract last year, which is not the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll restructure my contract. So, in other words, yeah, like, get me the, like, you know, get more money up front. But it's not sacrificing money. He has never said that. And he shouldn't say that. But this is an interesting, if it does come to this and they want to talk with him about doing something, it's really interesting. You know, I think obviously you're talking about a guy who not only has been here a long time, was here in Murfreesboro before that. He's entrenched. I think he cares a lot about the community, about the team, the guys in the locker room. But ultimately, that's what it is. It's like, okay, so what would my value be out there if you know, you guys are trying to make me take less money?
It's a really interesting situation. Like you said, I mean, look, nothing's happened on that front. There have been nothing that the Titans have talked about when it comes to Kevin Byard. And we'll see whether or not Michael Lombardi is just throwing something out there or if anything comes from this. But it's a very interesting situation to think about nonetheless. Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. Got lots going on this weekend, Preds, with a couple of huge games. The NCAA tournament underway. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road, our inaugural week of Weekend Winners this season. We've gone through Pigskin Pick'em. Michelle wins again. And with the NCAA tournament starting, we are starting Weekend Winners right now. So we got a lot to get to. The Preds with a couple of games this week. Some individual picks that we'll get to as well that are going to be revolving around the NCAA tournament. So let's get rolling. Joe, we'll begin with the Preds and the Jets. We're going straight puck line on this one. So Preds and the Jets taking place tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. 1 o'clock puck drop, pregame at noon here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's a massive one for the Preds and the Jets. Michelle, since she won Pigskin Pick'em, is up first. We got David Janes in here with us right now. Michelle has sent her picks in, going with the Nashville Predators on the puck line tomorrow against the Winnipeg Jets. So a big win for the Preds if that's what they can get. Michelle going with the Preds at home. Joe, I am up next. I will go with the Jets tomorrow. I just think the Predators, I don't know if they're ready for this step up in competition. It's a home game. I think the energy will be good in the building, but I will go with the Jets to win tomorrow. Joe Rex showed your pick between the Predators and the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go Jets too. I feel like the Preds, it's been fun and it's been, you know, galvanizing, and they've played some good hockey, and it's been, you know, fun to see some of the young guys get in there. But I think there may be some losses coming up here for the Preds.
Sticking with the Preds, they'll be back on the road on the second half of back-to-back, taking on the New York Rangers on the road, who, since they've gotten Patrick Kane, have been struggling a little bit. Now, they've started to play better the last couple of games. I said it earlier in Call Your Shot Friday, Joe, so I'm sticking with it. Lankinen, shutout in the Garden. Give me the Preds against the Rangers on Sunday. Write it down. I'm going with the Preds. Joe Rexrow, the Preds and the Rangers coming up at Madison Square Garden.
I'm going to go Rangers.
Great analysis. Going with the Rangers coming up on Sunday against the Preds. Michelle also with the Rangers as well. Joe, we move to the Vols and Duke coming up tomorrow. You will be live and in person in Orlando, Florida for this game. Duke is favored by 3.5 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Duke -3.5. Joe Rexrode, you kick us off. Which way are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go Vols, and I'm going to pick straight up that they're going to pull off a shocker here. I think their defense is something Duke has not seen. I think the ACC is pretty bad. You know, all this talk about Duke's done all this stuff. I mean, who's good in the ACC? I mean, really, who is good? I mean, Miami's okay. You know, Virginia, I just watched them yesterday. Oh, what a great win for Duke over Virginia in the ACC title game. Virginia's not very good. Duke is good, okay? Duke is a good team. They're playing their best basketball. People are way inflating what they are, and I think that the Vols will take advantage of the psychological edge that they finally have of no one expecting them to win an NCAA tournament game and win the NCAA tournament game.
I could see Adam Vingan, as we speak, raging in his house right now.
Yes,
with Joe Rexrode.
I hope so.
Going with the Vols, not only plus the 3.5, but going with the Vols to win outright as well. And Michelle Knezevic, taking the same approach as Joe Rexrode, Vols plus the 3.5, and the Vols to win outright as well. So both Joe and Michelle picking Tennessee to win. Joe, you and Michelle could be two of the only people in the country that we see actually do this over the course of the next 24 hours.
Michelle, what, it's GB Joe and What is Michelle?
I don't know. I
mean, we got to come up with a Vols-related nickname for her, too. What a homer.
Riding high on Tennessee. I will go with Duke in this matchup. I don't trust Tennessee. I don't trust Tennessee's offense in this game. And I think Duke will win by about five. I'll go five, so I'll take the -3.5. But I will go with Duke in the matchup against Tennessee. So I'm going to be with the rest of America in this matchup. We move to the individual picks here on the program. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your first individual selection.
Well, I've been saying all week, so I'm going to stick with it. You know, they're going to have to work hard against Trace Jackson Davis inside. But Kent State getting 4.5 against Indiana. Kent State, make it my lock.
Ooh, going with Kent State and the lock against Indiana. You've been hyping that game up all week. I like it. Michelle, of course, going with Kentucky, -4 today in the matchup against Providence. We knew that that was going to happen. She hasn't told me what her lock is yet. I'd assume it's going to be that, but we'll double-check with Michelle on that front. But Michelle going Kentucky, -4 against Providence coming up later today. For my first individual selection, I'll fast forward to tomorrow for my first one. Give me Missouri, -6.5 against Princeton. Great story from Princeton. You had the big emotional win, and I think it's back down to reality coming up tomorrow. I'll go with Missouri, -6.5 against Princeton. So Princeton gets their one moment in the sun, their 15 minutes of fame, and then Missouri takes them out tomorrow, -6.5. I'll kick us off with the second round of individual selections as well. And Joe, I've been talking about this one all week, and I'm making it my lock. Give me Memphis, -1.5 against Florida Atlantic. I think it's a good game. It's an 8-9 matchup, obviously, but I have a lot of confidence in the Memphis Tigers. I'll go Memphis -1.5. I'll make it my lock. David James raising his hands in celebration as we speak. Give me the Tigers.
Go Tigers, go.
-1.5. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay. Vermont Marquette, your national championship pick, right?
That is correct. Right?
Oh, by the way, Michelle's lock is the Balls.
Going with the Balls, okay.
Balls with the lock. I think Marquette, Michigan State, if that's the second round game, could be a really interesting game. I don't have Marquette going as far as you do, but -10.5 against Vermont, I think they're going to just run all over Vermont and easily cover that. So give me Marquette -10.5.
Going with Marquette -10.5, taking on Vermont. Michelle's second individual selection is Sparty, Michigan State -1.5 against USC. We talked about it earlier. Call Your Shot Friday. I said they'd win by 10. Michelle going with Michigan State -1.5 against USC coming up later today. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
And so I'm going to go to tomorrow now. Auburn, Houston. Again, I'm worried about Marcus Sasser. He was hurting last night. I'm sure he's going to give it a go and all that stuff, but you know, he's such an important player for them. If he's limited, that hurts them a lot. Auburn's still capable. I mean, Auburn is capable of losing anybody in this tournament because sometimes their guards just mess them up. But I think getting that win, the way they played, they're getting 5.5 points. I love Auburn +5.5 against Houston.
So Michelle, for her final individual selection, going with VCU +4.5 against St. Mary's taking place later today. Michelle going with VCU +4.5 against St. Mary's in the 5-12
matchup.
Love
that pick.
So we'll see what happens on that front. My final individual selection, give me Pittsburgh +4.5 against Iowa State. Classic 6-11 matchup there. I will go with Pittsburgh +4.5 against Iowa State. Joe, in our first edition of Weekend Winners, I got to say, I'm feeling pretty good about my college basketball picks.
Well, I don't know, man. ACC, I just said the ACC stinks. But hey, you know, good luck. But sometimes you do see that team that that wins in the first four game kind of carry that momentum in and come out and play a team that hasn't played yet, you know, and play well. But I think the ACC stinks. And I think by the end of this weekend, we're going to look at it and say, oh, yeah, actually, just what we thought all year, that the ACC stinks, is true. The ACC stinks.
If Kent State pulls off the upset against Indiana today, what sort of package do you think you deserve for calling this basically all week?
Yeah, the thing is, I've said it so much. Now I'm totally second-guessing it. It's like, yeah, Trace Jackson Davis is going to have like 30 and 15, and like they have nobody to deal with him, you know? So I feel like I'm almost psyched myself out on this one, but I'm telling you, I mean, just the name alone, like Sincere Carry has to have a huge game, and I'm counting on it. They're good. They are really good.
I'm looking forward to that coming up. A big day at the NCAA tournament today. Obviously, FAU and Memphis, we've talked about the 8-9 matchup. Kansas State taking on Montana State. If Kansas State wins and Kentucky wins, that'll be your second-round matchup there. We'll see what happens on that front. Sparty taking on USC in the 7-10 matchup. And really, the question is, will we see any other big upsets today? We saw a couple of big ones yesterday. Princeton takes down Arizona. And obviously Furman taking down Virginia yesterday. Joe Rexroad was in the building. By the way, great photo of Joe Rexroad taken yesterday in the middle of that game as well.
Incredible.
With Furman and Virginia. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate moment for me.
It's all over Twitter.
it's just really – I'm trying to forget about that. Well, yeah, so my coworker, Brendan Marks, the ball comes right to us. This is in the Virginia Furman game, and he catches it. And, like, I don't know what happened with the ref was talking to somebody. Like, he seriously had the ball for about, like, 30 seconds. And I'm like, just leave, dude. Like, you can take the ball now. You know? Just
take it with you.
So then we're, like, taking pictures with it and having fun with it. And you just you got to remember, if you're, you know, if you have a double chin, like, don't scrunch your face up if someone's taking a photo of you, because it'll look like you have four chins instead of just, like, two. So, but, hey, live and learn.
Yeah, live and learn. No question about it. We'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament. We'll get into the Vols coming up next and their win last night against Louisiana. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook as he continues to celebrate his favorite week of the entire year.
That's right. And in this amazing week, you can get 10 times your first bet amount, bonus bets up to $200. So 20 bet bucks on a bracket, you can land 200 in bonus bets, win or lose, a FanDuel Sportsbook. So 200 bucks, you can bet, you know, money line, point spreads. We've been talking about a bunch of these matchups. Again, I'm going to tell you, Kent State over Indiana, take the points. You know, if it doesn't work out, don't get too mad at me, because my picks, I mean, like, you know how my picks have gone at different times. But you do whatever you want to do. Do it with conviction on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use, because there is no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. Sign up today by going to FanDuel.com/Joe102 and make every moment more with FanDuel all tournament long. You must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First sign of the road, money wager only, $10 deposit required. Refund issued, just now withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Join 102.5 The Game live from the Rusty Nail today for the second round of the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts, plus great drinks and great food, especially the wings. That's 102.5 The Game live at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage today. The doors open at 10 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are discussing the NCAA tournament and Tennessee. They win last night 58-55 against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. Joe Rexroad was there live and in person in Orlando. Joe, what did you make of the Vols last night as they survive and advance in the NCAA tournament to take on Duke tomorrow?
First of all, thanks to all texters who reminded Kineza Ball. We've said Kineza Ball.
How in the world did we forget
before?
That?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I don't know, man. Yeah, good call, good call. Kineza Ball in full effect. So I broke it down last night, and I understand Louisiana is a – they're exactly like a 13 seed. 13 seeds win in this tournament sometimes. They're a good mid-major with a legit center, Jordan Brown, who Tennessee – he tried to get, Texas tried to get, who was a sixth man of the year for Arizona, who was a McDonald's All-American five-star. He's 6'11". He's a pro prospect, Jordan Brown. So that's what separates the Raging Cajuns from a lot of other teams at their level, and that's why they were in the tournament. And I thought the Vols did a really good job against him. They had a good plan. Zone was part of it, which is really interesting. Rick Barnes has worked on zone since losing to Kai Ziegler, which I get, and again, it changed the pace in this game. It got them out of rhythm, and they were still able to rebound out of the zone. I thought Toby Awaka and Adu, those guys got some big defensive rebounds. Defensively, for the most part, it was a good night. Even when Louisiana made us run in the second half. They hit a bunch of threes. I think they hit six straight shots in a row in general, including like three or four threes. You know, they hit some shots. It wasn't like it was awful defense. But 31 minutes of this game, as I went through it, the Vols won that by 24 points, and they were holding Louisiana to like a pace that would give them about a 40-point game. In the other 9 minutes, it was 24-3 Louisiana, and Tennessee seriously played some of the a level of offensive basketball at times of like not being able to even complete a pass that was like Rick Barnes, if he was coaching his grandkids, should scream at them.
Yeah.
You know, grandkids playing in fourth grade, let alone his college basketball team. And it's just weird how this stuff happens for this team, and they do this for stretches. And it just like it's like just block this 4 or 5 minutes out and watch out, because they're going to be so bad you won't even believe it. And so look, it's and that's part of why I think a lot of people are going to have low confidence in them in this game tomorrow, and why everybody's going to pick Duke and probably pick Duke big. I get it. Let's not forget the other 31 minutes. It was elite defense, and yes, Jordan Brown is an elite player. And Tennessee is an elite defensive team that has locked down some of the best teams in this sport this year. And losing Zakai Ziegler does not hurt them defensively, from what I've seen. It really doesn't, because Jemai Meshack has stepped up big time. So defensively, Tennessee is ready to go into tomorrow and be hell on Duke. And I think people are way overlooking that factor, and I think also inflating what Duke is offensively. Now, Duke defensively is – you're talking about – this game could be like 52-50. You know,
get fired up.
Just played a game like that. Yeah, I know. But you know what? There's beauty in defense too, Robbie. Come on, embrace it.
There is. Now, offensively, if you're Tennessee, I mean, you've got to find a way to get things more figured out than you did last night. Now, look, Vescovy last night, he took three shots. He had 3 points. You brought it up earlier. He was in foul trouble. I mean, you got basically nothing from a scoring standpoint from him last night. So I would expect that changes as they take on Duke. Now, it's clear when you're guarding Tennessee, you want to try to shut him down, because we've seen it. He can get hot, and he can be a guy that really hurts you out there. So Vescovy, I would expect to be more involved offensively tomorrow than he was against Louisiana. But I thought Meshack was really good. Outside of the stretches that you brought up of where they just all looked terrible playing offensive basketball, and it was turnovers left and right, and they went on the 11-0 run before the half to create some separation. Good thing they did, because they got outscored in the second half by Louisiana after that. But I just look at this team offensively right now, and they're really difficult to trust. Now, you said this earlier, and I agree. I thought Plofsic, I thought Kamwa, I thought Adu, I thought all those guys played pretty well for the most part. Not perfect, but they played pretty well. And against this Duke team tomorrow, I'm interested to see how Barnes handles that. Who gets the minutes? Who plays? Like, is Plofsic going to play 20, 25 minutes tomorrow? He played 19 last night. Is he going to get into the 20s tomorrow against Duke? You know, Kamwa, I think we know, is going to play a lot. But how can their bigs affect that matchup? And hopefully, if you're Tennessee, win that matchup against Duke.
Yeah, and I think Plofsic is – if you can get it to where – Lively has to deal with Plofsic,
yep,
on the block. I think that's what you want to do. Lively will block anybody's shot straight up, but he's an incredible help side shot blocker. Incredible. He's going to be a lottery pick just because he's that. You're talking 7'1", and like his lateral quickness and ability to get from one spot to the other is astounding. Also, though, you know, he's not much of an offensive threat. So I think you can get away with Plofsic on him more than you can with some bigs. I mean, they will try to put him in the pick and roll. They'll try to get him rolling to the basket, you know, and things like that. So it may be that Adu just has to be in there more than Plofsic on that. But if they can keep Plofsic on the floor, I think he can kind of neutralize Lively, because Plofsic will bury anybody in the post.
Yep.
He buried Jordan Brown last night. He was catching the ball foot from the rim a few times. So that's one thing. I think Kamwa is the right matchup for Filipowski, who is Duke's leading scorer. And, you know, on the perimeter, Duke has good players. I mean, Roach is good. I mean, you know, Proctor. I mean, they've got good players. but they're not. Like last night, Derek Whitehead went nuts from three. You got to watch that. He's a very good shooter. He's a first-round pick, too. I mean, Duke's loaded with talent, but it's not like when you think of Duke, like some Duke teams, you know? And it is very freshman-heavy, and I think the Vols defensively are going to be able to keep the score down. Like you said, can they – They got to get Vescovy shots. It depends on how you want to look at it. Like, to me, they won an NCAA tournament game with 11 points from Vescovy and James. They didn't have to rely on them. And Vescovy's obviously the more important scorer and just getting shots for him. Not going to win that tomorrow without Vescovy getting probably double-digit shots. But, you know, I think you can't – he had auto-bench with 12:43 in the first half last night. So that was a big part of it. And then you're on the bench and you're cold. And also you're getting the crap beat out of you. I'm sure Duke will try to beat the crap out of him tomorrow just like everybody does.
It'd be great if they could make their free throws too, though. I mean, they shot 57% from the free throw line last night. You know, Josiah Jordan-James, who I believe is around 87% on the season, he misses a big one. Now, to his credit, he then followed that up and made a big one right after that. But Julian Phillips had some free throws late in the game. He missed one too. Like, down the stretch there in the second half, you just make a few free throws, that game's really, I mean, it's out of hand before it gets, you know, down to where you're sweating it out at the end.
Well, you mentioned a guy who's huge tomorrow. Like, Tyreek Key last night was good. He led him with 12 points. And in that matchup against that team, like, he's fine defensively. But against Duke, you need Julian Phillips. You need a guy who some people think has first-round talent, a five-star freshman, to be good and engaged and on the floor for these matchups. And defensively, they would be much better off if they had him playing more minutes than Tyreek Key tomorrow. Now, if Key's going crazy shooting the ball, that's one thing. But Julian Phillips has got to step up and play tomorrow. I don't know that the Vols win this game if they don't get – again, not like some huge game, but like Kama last night, he gave you a good game. That's what you need. You need something like that from Phillips tomorrow.
I would agree. And then Mayshak, I thought, played pretty well for the most part. Need him to repeat that again. Obviously, I mean, everybody's going to talk about heading into this game. You don't have Ziegler, the guard, all that stuff. But, you know, Mayshak, I thought, for the most part, pretty good last night.
Mayshak has been fantastic overall. Yeah, he had a couple of those bad turnovers too. So not perfect. But he also ended both droughts or helped end both droughts in both halves with really nice pull-up jumper. Not afraid of the moment, not afraid to shoot. And I think his ball pressure and everything, it's not a big step down. Plus, he has the size that on switches, you're not as vulnerable. So defensively, Mayshak has been an incredible replacement. And offensively, I mean, shoot, again, he doesn't have fear. And I think his emergence is kind of underrated right now with all the other stuff going on.
No question about it. Tennessee taking on Duke tomorrow. For Joe Rexroad's sake, it's in the afternoon tomorrow. So maybe he'll get a little bit of sleep this weekend as things go on. Joe, have fun in Orlando. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. Hope you enjoy the tournament games today. We'll keep you updated all day long here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.